Welcome to the Change Your World Women's Summit, brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce to you the fabulous Ms. Shahara Wright. Shahara, why don't you take it from here?
Hi, everybody. My name is Shahara Wright, and I'm a business law attorney and business strategist. I've been working with small and mid-sized businesses since 2000 for a little over 15 years. And one of the things that I do with my clients is really talk to them about business planning and business strategies. And one of the things that is most important in understanding, you know, planning is that a lot of times people think it's going to take forever. When I talk to people about doing a business plan or doing a strategic plan, you know, they think it's going to take, you know, the next 2 months of my life. And sometimes if you really have to dig deep, it can take that long. But there's ways to have a plan, a written plan, that can allow you to do that in not such a long time, but also have you ready for the next year. Every year you should make a plan for the next year, and you shouldn't wait till January of that new year to do it. You should start a little early. I always suggest that you start in the third quarter, about October, but sometimes people do it a little earlier, and that's fine as well. But as long as you start off sometimes trying to plan for the next year, if not the next couple of years, that's the most important thing. And it's always important to write it down and have a clear expressed plan. So a lot of times people will say, well, I have it in my head. And in your head is great, but nobody knows what it is if it's in your head. So if you have people that you work with or a team or somebody that you're going with, it's nice to have a written, clear plan about your goals and your objectives and what you're trying to do as you move into the next year. So I want to talk about why it's important to have a plan and what things we need to do to get started, because a lot of times people have a hard time getting started and don't know what to do. So why is it important to really have a plan? Well, it's important because, just as I said, you need to have something written, something clear about where you're going to go. And it's not a plan about, I think I'm going to, you know, do 12 speaking gigs next year, or I think I'm going to have 5 more clients next year. What it really is I'm going to do these things, and this is how I'm going to do that. So we consider that more of a strategic plan about what strategies are we going to put in place in order to make those happen, those things happen. And so the next portion of that is, where do you start and how do you get ready for your plans? So the part I call this is my thinking plan. All the things that I'm thinking about and how I'm going to put that thinking plan in action. So the first thing you want to do is you want to assess your current situation. Start off with a description of where you are. What's happening in your business now? What is working and what's not working? List the good, the bad, and the ugly. And when you do that, you need to describe the situation well enough that when someone else reads it, they can understand what's happening in your business. That's really important because you need to be clear and honest with yourself about what's happening in your business. I know when I was planning for my law firm and now my new business, I really had to think long and hard about what was going wrong in the business, what was happening that I didn't like and what was happening that I did like, to really assess what direction I wanted to go. And when you think about what's going wrong, not just that you're not making enough money or you need some more clients, but if you did some marketing and the marketing didn't go the correct way that you wanted it to go, you need to assess why that is. If you have, you know, really good rapport with your customers, you need to assess why that is. So what is your current situation and how do you use that to figure out where you want to go next? So now that you kind of assess your current situation, the next thing that you want to do is identify the top 5 problems. So like I said, if one of your problems is financial, and not just that I need more money, but maybe your cash flow is low and you don't have enough cash to operate, so you're always looking for more cash, or maybe you have a lot of customers, but you can't seem to figure out how, where to invest and how to invest, you know, your next dollar. Should it be in the marketing? Should it be into something else? It may be credit problems in terms of you have a lot of debt and you need to figure out how to get rid of that debt. It may not be financial at all. Maybe you have some marketing problems and you don't know where to market, or you don't have a good marketing track record, so some of the marketing that you've done hasn't been going well. What are those problems? Ask yourself, who or what do I need to fix those problems? If you know what you need, then list the obstacles to getting those things done. So if your issue is marketing and the problem is that you don't know how to use social media, then the question is, why haven't you figured out how to use social media? Is it that you just don't like it, or is it that you need somebody to help you? Are there books that you need to read? What are the things that you need to do in order to get those things, or what's preventing you from doing those things to get those things done? If you don't know how to fix those problems, what experts do you need to help you? So, for example, one of the things that I'm doing is I'm writing a book, and I'm just in the finishing process, and I'm working towards getting the book published, and one of my goals is to be on the bestseller list. And if I don't know how to do that, and I don't know where to go, and I'm doing research, what's the obstacles to keeping me from getting those things done? And so if there's obstacles for me to not get my book on the bestseller list, i.e. I don't know how to, then I have to list out what resources would be there for me to be able to do that. That would be getting a PR agent. That would be talking to people that have done it. That may be taking a class. All of those things that I may need to do to help myself get on that bestseller list, those are the things that I need to consider as I'm identifying my top problems and how I need to go forward. So, of course, you don't always want to just identify with, you know, the problems in your business. You also want to think about the good things in your business. What things do you do well? And so you ask yourself, you know, what are the top five things that I need to consider about my business? What things do I do well in my business? And when you do that, you need to ask yourself why these things are successful and how you can apply these principles to other parts of your business and how can you build upon those successes. So one of the things that I do is, you know, I have a pretty good rapport with most of my clients. One of the things that all of my clients say is that, you know, they enjoy talking to me, I give them good information, and they appreciate what I'm saying to them, and I explain things well. So if I understand that I can explain things well and make something complicated and make it basic, how can I utilize that to expand my business, to be able to reach more people and build upon that quality in order to reach more clients? So those are the things that you want to think about. If you have really good customer service and everybody's raving about your customer service, how can you take that those principles of your customer service and the things that you put in place for your customer service, expand that not only in customer service, but expand that in other parts of your business so that it can, those good things, those positive things can flow through your business. So now after you've done this assessment of your business and kind of figured out where you are and where you want to be, the next thing you want to do is really think about your expectations. And sometimes people wait to the end to do this, and it makes sense because sometimes you have to put a lot of things in and do a lot of strategy thinking before you put these points in. But I think it's good to think about it, at least about where you're trying to go as you're building your goals and your objectives, to think about these things. So one thing you want to talk about is your positioning statement. And your positioning statement is not a marketing positioning statement. It's one or two sentences that explains who you are and what you do. What it is not about how you are perceived by your customers, but this is how you wish to be perceived. Not how they actually perceive you, but how you want to be perceived. So when you say what you are and what you do, this is what you want people to know. This is how you want them to perceive you. It's a method of communicating to yourself as well as your clients, and it's a core message that you want to communicate to the world. When people ask you, what do you do, this should be it. This should be your positioning statement. So you want to make sure that you put that together. And positioning statements should state who you are, who you work with, and what you do for them. That should be something that is very clear so that when somebody asks you, you know, what do you do, it's not this 30-second elevator speech, but it's one or two sentences that is very clear about who you are, who you work with, and what you do for them. So that if anybody asks you any more questions, then you can go on and explain your business. But it's always the statement that is always clear, and you can put it on your website, you can put it in your marketing material, you can, you know, communicate it to your employees or your staff or your contractors that you work with. It's always important to be very, very clear in that positioning statement. The next thing you want to have is a vision statement. And the vision statement is much, much broader than any positioning statement will ever be. The vision statement describes where your business is going and the values and purpose of the business. It should be forward-looking, into the future, as in having a vision and being clear about where you want to be and how you see yourself and your company and being. How do you see your business in 3 to 5 years? Where do you aim to be? It's important to have something like that in place. So, for example, Microsoft has a vision statement that says, on a computer on every desk in every home, all running Microsoft software. That's a vision. That's really big. And so if that's their aim, to have a computer on every desk and in every home and running Microsoft software, then that's important. So you want your vision statement to be, one, future-oriented, two, describe the future in images or mental pictures, right? You can really see a computer on every desk and in every home and running Microsoft software. Three, the vision about the possibilities, what's possible, and four, explains what's unique about the company. And so what's unique in this Microsoft statement, vision statement, is that everybody's running Microsoft software, right? That's what their vision is. So you can really picture that, and you can understand what's unique about that. So you really want to work on your vision statement, and it may take a while to get it together, but that's the whole point, is that you want to work on it, you want to tweak it, and you want to talk to other people to make sure it's big enough, it's wide enough, that you really can go through the years making that vision happen. And you may not ever fully achieve it, but you always want to run for it and always try to go through it. So the next thing is the mission statement. And the mission statement describes the journey of how the vision will be achieved, meaning how are you going to get there? It's a larger than the vision statement in that it's about leading to the future, right? The present leading to the future. So you think about the objectives and the purpose and values and the customer needs, and you think about all of these things, and the primary function of the mission is internal, meaning in the mission you normally don't show this with you don't normally give this to the public. It's not something that everybody sees. It's usually internal, maybe with you and your staff and the company inside, and said, this is our mission, this is what we're trying to do. So, for example, Bristol-Myers has a mission statement to discover, develop, and deliver innovative medicines that help patients prevail over serious diseases, right? To discover, develop, and deliver innovative medicines that help patients prevail over serious disease. And that's a really broad mission statement. And that tells people, you know what, this is what we do. We're discovering and we're developing and we're delivering. That's what we do. And that's something that everybody in the company can internalize, and they can understand this is the purpose, this is the mission of our company, and this is what we're striving to do every day. And so that is always communicated to the employees, the staff, everybody, that this is what we do and this is where we need to be focused. And that helps people to not get off track about what we're trying to accomplish and what we're trying to do, so that we don't go around doing something else other than what is our mission and our vision. So the next thing, once we have that clear, we want to work on the plan, the actual plan. And so we want to set some goals. And the goal is a specific target. It's an end result or something to be desired. So you have to state where you want your company to be. So one of the things that I say is to list out what I call these problem areas, but these four strategic areas. So the four strategic areas are management, legal, financial, and marketing. So if you make a column for management, you make a column for legal, you make a column for financial, you make a column for marketing, and you list out the problems in each of those areas. Some areas you may have a lot of those problems, some areas you may not have any problems, but that's okay. You want to list out those things. And so you want to go back to your list of top five problems, your top five best things, and kind of put them in the areas of management, legal, financial, and marketing. So the problems may be in management, the good things may be in legal, or it may be the opposite around, but you can at least see where they fall in those four strategic areas so that you can figure out what needs to be done. And sometimes they're going to be in multiple areas, and that's okay, but you just want to list them out. And as you list them out, what those problems are, then you need to set goals around them. So if your problem, as we talked about, maybe is management, maybe you don't have enough help, maybe your help isn't working well, and you know this, so now we're going to set goals about fixing that together. So one of the goals may be with getting job descriptions or having employee handbooks or maybe contracting some work out. Those may be things that you put together. So that's what you want to do. Now, after you do that with your worst things and your best things about your business and really list that out, you want to do an objective. And so the objective is a tool used to achieve goals. It is used to obtain or accomplish a specific purpose or target. And so everybody has heard of SMART goals, SMART objectives, and SMART means specific, measurable, action-oriented, realistic, and time-specific. So you want to take all those things that you listed in your goals and make objectives. So if your objective with your management and you're saying, okay, I don't have enough help, I need to get help, is not just with, okay, I'm going to hire somebody to handle my marketing by March of 2016. Those are things that you want to make sure that you have something specific about what you're going to do in order to fix that issue or to improve that good thing about your business in those specific areas. You want to make sure that it's very specific as to time. And you want to make sure that you do it not just with your problems, but you want to do it with your good things because you may need to improve upon those things or apply it in different areas. So you want to make sure that you have those things in place. So now that you've created your goals and objectives, you need to look at each and determine who's going to be responsible for overseeing each area. Now, if you're a solopreneur and you're just by yourself, you can't always handle everything by yourself. You're not going to grow if you do everything by yourself. So you need to decide what things can be handled by somebody else and what things do you need to handle. So do you need to hire a professional? Do you have an employee that can be assigned a task? How are you going to be accountable to your timeline? Do you have, you know, an advisory board or a list of advisors or people that you can meet with or a mastermind that you can come together with, you know, once a month or once every quarter to make sure that you're moving accordingly, according to your plan? Because if you're not doing anything on your plan, if you're not making any decisions and you just stick it in a drawer, let it collect dust, then you've wasted time doing it because the whole purpose is to make sure that you're doing what you said you were going to do. So your thinking plan should be in line with your position, your vision, and your mission. And if there's anything that you have listed in your goals and objectives that are not directly or closely indirectly related, you should consider removing it from your list. So if it's completely off the boil and not even in line with how you're trying to move the company, then those things should not be on the list and they should not be considered. You want to make sure that you're always in line and in step with what you said that you were going to do. So as you put together this thinking plan and you have it clear, you need to make sure that you put it in action. And so that's what we do at the CEO Effect. I mentioned before that I started a new company and it's called the CEO Effect LLC. And the whole purpose of the CEO Effect is to work with small and mid-sized businesses to help them improve their business strategies, to kind of move into the next era We have a lot of learning materials that are going to be out next year. That's one of my goals, is to have e-courses put together and to have this book released. But upcoming on November 19th will be a webinar, a free webinar, on trademarks and copyrights. So if you're thinking about branding and how to brand your company, trademarks and copyrights are an essential part of that, and you definitely want to learn about it. So it'll be 11 a.m. Central Time, November 19th. You can connect with me on my website at the CEO Effect. That's theceoeffect.net. You can email me at swright, that's swright, at theceoeffect.net. If you email me, you can ask me to put you on the list so that I will notify you once we have everything out with signing up for the webinar. And as always, you can connect with me on Facebook at CEO Effect or on Twitter at The CEO Effect. I look forward to seeing you guys at the webinar. I think you guys will really like it, especially for those of you who are truly looking for branding and trying to expand your reach, that you need to protect yourself with trademarks and copyrights. Thank you very much, and I look forward to seeing you at the webinar.